Great.
Another podcast.
I know you think I'm a psychopath, Democrat lurking in the dark. This sucks, I'm the Kmart soda jerk, so do trash. I kept the stash of coca candy straight from Japan, hologram, and she was never as near. Think you know what I need to get by?
Something for your mind.
I think, with all due respect, I'd fuck your cat was pitched in soundcheck, and
he's high as fuck right now, my cat.
Oh my god. Drugs have destroyed an entire feline community, and I am all for it.
The only reason I have him is strictly I was sick of doing drugs and getting hammered by myself all the time.
Now you got a cat to get high with.
Yeah, he likes uppers. I like him. And we both like to fuck each other. So it's perfect. Easy there.
It's my first day.
Mm. Well, that's up.
No one's fault.
We're good. Sorry.
The lip smacking's not picking up. Can you lean in a little more?
Well, we're not on the same audio channel.
That's good.
Enough, trust me. Also, I just got done doing, what is that? How do you say it? Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
It's German. It's, there's no English direct, but it's the enjoyment of one other's pain. The mic was named such because, as an audience member, you sit back and you see how much pain that comedian is in this room.
You know, and they reciprocate the pain by just being there and feeling like they're forced to sit there.
Well, no, it's the enjoyment of the pain. So like, well, you went on and believed it was some like storytelling mic.
I took it too literally, I guess.
No one else did.
No, I was up too early.
Yeah.
I was like third or fourth. Would have figured out we're doing material that night. A little different game. Yeah. Instead, I just fucking rambled on about me shitting my fucking pants for 7 minutes.
As far as things to tell, I mean,
my crusty boxers are in that hamper right now. That's not a lie. I'm shitting my pants left and right over here.
Now, if you would have brought them, I think you would have got more laughs, but you'd also be a prop comic, which is more embarrassing than carrying around soiled drawers.
Start talking to a puppet or shit like that. And that was fun, though.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Again, dude. What we were talking about earlier, the hang. It's the best part about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This weird, creepy, underground, like, secret society that we're in a sense. Like, that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, strange.
I was talking to, well, we were screaming at each other. Sean and I were at Icky's.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking death metal.
Oh, my God. I 0-for-2 experiences at Icky's. Both unpleasant.
But, we were just saying, like, it's weird because I've like, you know, become friends with people that I probably never would have ever crossed paths with before or something like that. And like, as we're screaming at each other at the bar, like the fact that you and I are even doing this right now, like it wouldn't have happened unless you were a psycho like I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Comedy.
Yeah. Unless your narcissism had ballooned to the proportion that you're like, people need to hear my take on this topic, we never would have met.
Yeah, and I thank myself for being such a narcissist.
I worked hard at it, you know?
Right.
For years, I was self-loathing, and I'm like, wait, that's just narcissism without the benefits.
When was the first time you got up on stage?
Close to a year ago. It was at Iggy's, actually. That's what I said. So I've been there twice. Tonight was the second
really
time.
The first time up there.
Yes, so... I just saw a post on that Facebook page, and I hadn't, you know, I'd had material. I'd tried to go to a mic beforehand, but I didn't know like what the list was or anything. Mm-hmm. I like posted about it on my story. I was like, I'm finally gonna do it, guys. And so I never talked to the host. I didn't get put on, obviously.
Right.
And the whole time they're talking about a no-show, I'm sitting there not realizing I'm the no-show.
Where was that?
It was in Birmingham. I was with my folks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so for like a month after that, I had lied to like all my friends and people. And it's like, yeah, I've done it. It went fucking great. Next Netflix special's coming next week.
That's how I got, I started doing it. I lied and said it for a year.
Yeah, it fucking killed. But no, then my first time was at Iggy's, and it was the guy who runs the mic.
Dan Higgins.
Yeah, some lady who I assume is an owner or otherwise correlated with him.
Usually he has like seven kids.
Oh God, gross. But and then another comedian and his girlfriend. And other than that, there was people playing pool in the back. And what I remember of that set, I don't know how much time I had, but as a true first timer, I nervously sprinted through all I had prepared and said, all right, well, that's my time. And
I slammed it down. Yeah.
The only thing that really got a reaction was an impression I did of sucking my own dick. And I felt so dirty and so like.
You're just like a beggar at that point.
I've,
that's how I felt tonight when I had to throw out the little clothes.
Like, I've never exchanged sex for money. But I have exchanged sex for goods, I'll say, and
drugs,
assets, and I've never felt as dirty as an impression of a blowjob I did on that dirty stage.
Yeah, well, especially because it's there too.
Oh, like, dude, and you're like, I degraded myself for like
karaoke's coming up in 5 minutes.
You're right.
Like you suck your own dick. Yeah.
That's what we do. Yeah, after that, I was just like, dude, I never want to do material that I get in the car afterwards and feel like gross about. Like, only do stuff I want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
you learn that by doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Shit. Iggy's was the spot where I would go up like more frequently as far as like mics went.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like doing mics. I fucking hate them. Once or twice a month I do them.
Really? No shit. Dude, you got to do the mics. That's how you do your writing, man.
Maybe I should.
Mm-hmm.
When I do it, I always have a great time. But it's, I like doing my new stuff when it's fucking brand. Like, you don't hear me working it out like that.
Mm-hmm.
Since I don't write jokes, per se,
yeah,
I'm working my shit out every day because it's all conversation type shit, right? You know, so I'm if I get the laugh out of it, I'm like, okay, I can tie that into what I have going on right now. And when you go to a mic, you know how my shit is. It's not like a 1-2 punchline shit. You
have
to pay attention from the start.
Yeah.
It's never gonna go well on a mic.
Mm-hmm.
There's maybe been like one or two times I've been out to an open mic where it went well, and it was just because I was hammered and just I talked shit about Sternick at WP or something like that.
So,
like,
I never expect a bit, especially the first time I do it, to go good at the mics. But what will happen is it goes bad, but this got a laugh. And that got a chuckle. Yeah, yeah. And from there, I can work at trimming. I can work with different deliveries.
If you get a laugh at a mic, that carries merit because
mm-hmm.
all of us aren't going to laugh.
Yeah.
You know, like we hear it like, insane.
Yeah. It's about it's jaded comedians, but like for me, performing it on stage is as big as any part of the writing process. Like,
see, like I don't, I think like the only thing that has made me feel, I guess like confident
mm-hmm.
when I go up, like if you say, hey, you got to do 5 or 10 minutes, like I'll go up there and I know that hey, this is going to work at least. It might I'm not going to get like fucking special out of it.
Yeah.
It's going to be safe. I know how to get the laughs out of it. But like I don't like doing it because I'm not preparing shit. I'm not trying to test it out for anybody. You know what I mean? So if I go up in a mic or something like that, it's not something that I just like scribbled in my notebook prior to, because that's not like what my style of comedy is per se. But I think just being comfortable on stage has made it easy for me. Like I don't. Doing mics is great for just having like a stage presence and, you know, even like how to work a microphone.
So, yeah.
You know, like,
shit. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Like that was the first thing that I did where I was like, oh Jesus Christ. Like how do I do this?
You think people are joking when they say talk into the microphone. It's genuinely the best advice you'll get the first time you go up. Yeah, really.
It's the gospel. But I don't, Like, I can, if you threw me into a fucking room of random strangers right now and said, hey, get these people to disagree with whatever you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fucking find a way to do that. Like, I don't feel, I thrive in those kind of situations where, like, these people are listening to what the fuck I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, it was never, like, a nervousness as far as, oh, my God, like, I'm on stage in front of all these people. Mm-hmm. It was more so of, hey, if I'm going to be up here doing this, I'm not going to embarrass my, like, I'm confident being on stage. So if I'm going to do it in front of people, I want to know that I'm going up there and I'm going to get laughs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, I get most of my work done in front of that mirror in the bar.
No, that's a big,
like, that's, I'll do, I time myself every time I'm adding something into my, like, current 10 minutes that mm-hmm. I'm working on, time myself in front of it. I record myself on the phone. Like, I go over it that way. And then I just translate that to, you know, me being on the stage. Every time I've tried to do that from a mic, never works out because it's, you know, it's bar show shit.
Like, yeah.
You're going to say something that's going to get a laugh because everyone's fucking hammered.
Mm-hmm.
Or you picked on the meth head in the group. You know what I mean?
Like, methamphetamine to my madness.
You're not going
to
get that.
Got my first walkout. It's not going
to be consistent for you. You
know what yeah, I mean? Yeah. But no.
If you can get your tight 5 or 10 down, uh-huh. you're, it's like methodical in a sense. Like, that's where I feel comfortable, like, because I'm so OCD with it. It's like, I'm only going to do this if I know it's going to, if I'm going to try a new joke, I know it's going to get some laughs.
Yeah. I think at a mic, one of the first things I learned when I started doing them was, why the fuck should I listen to you? That's yeah. what everyone in that crowd is thinking. So when you get up there, like your opening thing, you have to answer that question. Why the fuck should I listen to what this guy has
right,
to say?
Right, right.
And, for me, the mics that I hit, it's phase two of the writing process, right? I get the premise, that's like raw materials for me. And I talk things over quite a bit. I wish I'd been doing this sooner. It would have been easier to explain right, why I was right. always talking to myself growing right. up. Oh, I'm working through material.
Head for like fucking
oh, like, decade. Right?
Yeah.
And,
I feel like you're schizophrenic.
But it's all different when it's on stage. And when you do it in front of a crowd, you're able to see what works, what doesn't, where you lose the guy, where the stretch is too long. And from there, the editing part's as important as having right, the right. strong premise.
Oh, and don't get me wrong. Like, dude, there's so many good things about doing mics. And mm-hmm. like, I look at doing open mics as far as like putting a name to a face in a sense. Like, mm-hmm. I hope you're not going to judge what the fuck I'm saying, you know, on stage or something. Cause I don't do any of my set when I go do open mics. It's all like brand new shit mm-hmm. that I'm trying to do.
I think of it like practice. Mm-hmm. It's just the practice room for me.
Yeah. I mean, dude, there's different, I just never want to be the guy that was like, I killed that in open mic.
Yeah.
I
right.
know it's going to work. You know what I mean? Like I look at it now as far as, hey, that got laughs from those three fucking pretentious dicks mm-hmm. that are at this mic. So
I have a name.
Someone funny.
Yeah.
Like that's the way I look at it. But I don't know, like doing the hosting shit also, like I didn't need to have to do open mics all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Once a week I was going up no matter what, even if I wasn't yeah. necessarily hosting, it was, you know, Teddy and I going back and forth on shit. So
I think and I think I enjoy the mics probably even more than I enjoy the shows. Because by the time the material I'm working on gets to where it's show ready, I've done it so many times. I've got all the beats. It's me just running lines, really.
Yeah.
And I'm not as, you know, the mics, right? You're working through, you have a puzzle to solve. And it's how to get the most efficient, like, laughter for time. And when it all comes together, you get that aha, that yeah, eureka moment.
Yeah.
And there's nothing quite like dropping that joke you know is going to kill, that's going to tie everything together that first time. And then it's just diminishing returns. And right. then my opener, one of the first, what I'd call a bit that was like successful and not just like a one-liner, was about how my ADHD didn't get treated. Because my mom thought my hyperactive disorder was the next phase of evolution. It's called Indigo Children. But it's one of my better bits, and it's typically an opener when I do a show. And I am so, like, running through it. Like, I'll see it on a set list times of, like, you know, for, like, funny stuff. And I did it tonight, too. And I was just like, ah, I don't want to do this fucking joke. And fuck everyone who thinks it's funny. You know?
That's how I it's so weird because there's a huge part of me that takes, like, pride in the fucking 6 months it's taken me to come up with, like, 10 to 15 minutes.
Right.
Of, like, confident material. And then, like, when you know you're doing a show that these people don't give a fuck what you're saying. You know, like, they're here for this drink special or something like that. That's where it's just like, this isn't fun right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's – but I like doing – so, like, when you're saying you come up with shit on mics and stuff, I like doing shows better because I'm coming up with something that I know is – you know, it's funny. It's worked before.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go to a show like that – it's usually the people that are there for the show. Exactly.
You know, yeah.
Like they're here. They're there to laugh.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They've paid to get in, brought a date.
Yeah. And if I'm doing like conversational shit, it's easy for me to like feed off of that kind of stuff. And then like, if I stumble on something, I can rely on the people that are right there that are actually engaging with me, you know, and then
Come
up with new shit on the spot with it.
Uh-huh.
Versus, you know, me and a mic, and then it's just like I'm fucking fumbling over my words, basically.
Yeah. Well, and another difference, too, in the material we do, you know, you are more story-based. I'd say I'm probably a good bit darker than you.
Yeah.
So, I think Justin X said, like, and then he was like, it doesn't make your jokes funnier or less fun. It just raises the stakes on them.
Right, right.
So if it hits, it may hit a little harder, but if it misses, you're good. So I very rarely will I debut a joke at a show. You know, I'll debut a line here or there if I feel good about it. And I'll debut a one liner even if I'm like, I'll pitch it to friends and stuff like that.
Right.
But yeah, for the most part, it's like I really need to see how an audience is going to react to that, because I can play. I know what I think's funny.
Right.
I have no fucking clue what these assholes think.
It's stand up is so subjective.
Oh, 100%. And one of the biggest like certainly you notice like that where you jump a level. One of the first levels I jumped was when I started writing jokes. Because before I'd done it, I'm like, of course, I'm going to go up there and kill, and they're going to love. And after they lose their shit on this joke, that's when I say this, and I'm going to say that. I started writing jokes for when my jokes didn't work and when they bombed. And that was when I, like, had a couple sets at mics, but, like, where I was able to save it. Like, where I lost it, and then I'm like, well, you'd be weird, too, if you lost your virginity, the ghost haunted your childhood home.
Yeah.
And you bring it back, and then... That was one of the things where I was like, okay, so if I throw one into the dirt, it's fine. I can recover. I can bounce back.
Out of the hole, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what mics are good for.
Oh, yeah.
Most of, I mean, like 90% of it, it's like you're just talking into a fucking wall. Mm-hmm. You're not getting like a reaction on it. The only reaction you get are either you're killing the joke or you said something that like, is not okay to agree with. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like a PC friendly game. It's like, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's what the first like few months that I was doing stand up, I was fucking dark as shit when I started. Cause I still find
it's a crutch.
Funny. I find it funny, but
yeah.
My delivery, my mannerisms, it just makes it seem like when I'm saying what I'm saying, like I 100% really mean it.
Yeah.
So like, you know, if I'm trying to like play light on like a racial joke or something like that, where I'm trying to spin it to make the white guys look like the biggest assholes ever, but instead it just sounds like some yuppie fucking pretentious white guy. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, like blah, 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 speaking like that. And then all these guys that don't know you and you're trying that out for the first time at mics.
Mm-hmm.
It was daunting, like, the first few months I started doing it.
Yeah.
Like, this is fucking brutal.
Right?
I was going up at TikTok.
You have you have no bearing over someone else's interpretation.
Yeah, thank God Murs was as nice as he was.
Oh, I love Steve.
Because there was a few times. I mean, the first time I went up there, I had no idea. I think he's taking pictures of me. I didn't know. He's I'm running the light the entire time. Like, I must be fucking crushing it. Like,
yeah.
They got all these photos of me. And instead, I was like starting a mini race bait war inside of TikTok. Like,
Jesus.
Like, not even trying, you know what I mean? Like, but it was all out of one, I knew if I'm going to do this, I'm going to start with what I think is funny right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then no matter what, I know if it doesn't work, at least like, hey, that's going to be something so different than what everyone else is hearing. And the first few mics that I was doing when I was like trying to, I guess, get familiar with how the whole process of stand-up really works.
Mm-hmm.
The people, what I found was the people that maybe not aren't like necessarily the funniest out of like these open mics, but the ones that are grabbing attention mm-hmm. are the ones people are going to end up talking about, or like they're going to be the ones that you have a conversation with after
yeah.
it's over and shit like that.
Yeah.
So even though like there was people that wanted to fight me when I was like doing mics mm-hmm. and shit, and you know, I've talked to them after and stuff like that, but those are the people that have got me on shows or I've talked to and stuff like that, because I think, you know, they realize like, oh, this is such a foreign thing for anyone that just like dips or tries to dip their toes in it.
There's
no one that can be like a part-time open micer.
No.
Just do karaoke
mm-hmm.
in that sense.
Yeah, get a fucking hobby. Learn to knit.
You can't just pick up. It's not like a sport. Like mm-mm. you can't. It's like if you and I played high school basketball and didn't play for 10 years and then we know how to dribble. We know what layup. You know,
yeah.
Like, we know the rules of the game. You can't just like decide, hey, once a month I'm going to do an open mic.
That's your shows.
That's what you do when you're drinking and it's like yeah. a early night out because you hate your life and you're married.
Yeah. It's takes a certain breed, but it hits, the hooks get dug in the.
Yeah. You got to be a. I won't say special, but
undiagnosed mental illness, not neurotypical, basically.
No, he tried to also saying you're retarded.
I was saying it in a PC soy boy beta cuck way.
That's part of the reason why I love it so much. Like mm-hmm. that's like the addicting part is like this kind of shit.
Yeah,
like doing a show. The impressions that I make on people when I'm just like hanging out with them after is more important to me than like if I did really well.
Yeah.
Right? One, maybe it's because it's my way of justifying like this isn't what I'm trying to do as a career or something mm-hmm. like that. But really, it's just like I take it very seriously
yeah.
and I'm an egotistical maniac. So like I don't want people to think I'm not funny, but I like, you know, talking and interacting with like-minded individuals that I would never have stumbled upon.
Yeah.
Had it not been for comedy.
And yeah. It's one of those things like stand up. It brings people together kind of, but it's born out of, I think, isolation.
Yeah.
Born out of very lonely. I was alone most of the time I grew up. That's how I developed, you know, being able to entertain yourself. You're able to entertain an audience. It's also kind of why you seek the approval of the other right. group. But also, I mean, for you to be someone with humor that gets things like that, a lot of people are fucking dumb. Very.
And earlier.
Dude, to be someone who gets humor, gets multiple layers of things, who gets the joke in the world, you're going to feel lonely a lot.
Right.
Because you're surrounded by people who don't. And when you come into this environment that's full of people who get the joke, it's the first, you know, I had my I'm going to do this forever moment the second set I ever did. So after Iggy's, I went back home. And that mic in Birmingham that I originally tried to do and didn't,
yeah.
this time, you know, I knew, sign up, all that. And they only let me do 3 minutes. And another classic early stand-up, I thought the light meant you're out of time and that you had a minute. So I did 2 minutes and thought it went good for a first-time type deal, because if you get anything, that's, right, I think, right. a success. Yeah, yeah, when you. Right. But the only reaction I really got was like one laugh, like in the back. And it was fairly consistent, like everything. And that voice hadn't been there the whole time.
That person's paying attention.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't see who it was because I was doing that thing where you kind of like hover. You're not really looking.
Yeah. Big move. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a get.
Yeah.
You're bombing.
You're just, yeah. Yeah. See nothing. Yeah. Eyes are up, but I ain't looking. Yeah, yeah. And
make it into your bit, basically.
Exactly. And I get done and, you know, the mic ends, all that. And I get ready to go home. I go to take a piss. There's a line out of the bathroom, whatever. I wait in line. And this kid walks up. He kind of looked like Joe Graham. And in my head canon, you know what? It was Joe Graham. For whatever reason, he was in Birmingham.
Joe Graham.
And he was funny guy. Funny guy.
He was very funny.
He is. And then, but I could tell the dude was like jazzed to see me. And like, I hey man, you know, gave him like a head nod. He's like, I really enjoyed your set. And like, I'm like, oh, thank you. I didn't expect it. But he's like, I got it. Like, all the stuff you were saying, like, I was joking about being like a cult leader and all that shit. Well, you know, a lot of stuff that I scrap away. That's like, that it's turns off everyone. Yeah. But it was, this kid was like, I get it. And, you know, I gave him a hug. It was a nice interaction. And I like cried on the way home because, like, and it grew up my entire life feeling like I was in alone, really, you know? And then it was like, that's all I want to do. The rest of my life, I just want to get on stage and talk for people who get the joke. And that's making it to me.
Fucking take any accomplishment that I've ever had in my entire life, take it away.
Mm-hmm.
If I get a room of people at a fucking dive bar in Lakewood, Ohio to laugh at what I'm saying and actually not just understand what I'm saying, but like, my words are resonating with them. Like they can feel what I'm talking about. Dude, that is the biggest high you can ever get.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when I realized
as an out and out junkie, like I'm chasing that one shamelessly. So it's better than the others, man. Yeah.
That was like when I realized like, hey, this is, I'm going to do this. Like, the way I'm going to, but you know, it might not be conventional compared
to my way.
Others, but
yeah.
The first time I ever went up was, you know, how I conned my way basically into that show. But, you know, I met fucking Brian Kenny. I met Bruton, Rob Ward, all these guys. And had I not done it that night and just felt comfortable in like the sense where, you know, I'm in like the little group, the green room, just like bullshitting with everyone. Like, oh my God, like these people are fucking... I can just bullshit with them and we're all on the same page.
In a sense.
And then to go up on stage and then get that, then like line up at a door and have, obviously they're drunk, like whatever, you know, people coming up, but like, oh my God, I was like, I totally have been there before.
Yeah.
And just like, dude, I remember like texting my wife as I'm hugging these people and like people are taking pictures. This is the first time I ever did stand up. All these people think I've done it for years. And I'm like texting, I'm like, this is, I don't know how I can ever explain this to you. Like, I can't, this feeling, because it's so, you and I have been athletes our entire life.
Yeah.
We've been familiar with, you know, working hard towards something and then achieving it and then being known as one of the guys that are better at it.
Yeah.
Comedy is something, and that's why I find it so challenging and why I don't like to do like mics and stuff, because I don't want to, I've always been quote unquote good. At no matter what it was that I just did, you know, I pick up anything, like I've just been good at it in a sense. Not the best, but you know, people just have like, oh, yeah,
upper percentile.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like mainly like athletics or, you know, whatever shit, what it is. But this is such a different fucking beast. It's a different animal.
Yeah.
Because your performance isn't so much like what your theatrics are on stage. It's, I am saying something because I am thinking I'm going to get a rise out of it. I'm getting a reaction out of it. When you say something that either you're trying to make a point or you're trying to get a laugh and it doesn't get any reaction, dude, that is worse than me like striking out on the bottom of the ninth like to win the World Series. You know, like, because I'm putting myself, it's not like a chance of skill or anything like that. It's like I've thought this out. I've done this because I think I'm going to get this type of reaction from you. When I don't, when you're on there, that 5-second pause, when you're not getting a reaction, you're trying to think how the fuck you're going to get out of it. It seems like an eternity. The entire time you're just like, am I retarded?
Yeah.
Like
there's,
maybe I'm not like, maybe my jokes aren't too smart. Maybe they're just stupid and they don't make fucking sense or whatever. And then when it does hit, you're just like, I get it.
Yes.
This is why people do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is why they keep doing it after they fucking bomb consecutively. Well, and
it's hard to, because no matter how good you get, you're going to ride the highs and lows.
Right.
And it's not always, you could go up and deliver your material really good one night because the audience energy is low, because this guy kind of spaced out, you know. People don't get what all goes into making someone laugh. And the only people who truly understand it are these guys who, like, to me, I think a comedy kind of like as a second language.
Yeah.
That doesn't have anyone teaching it, that you have to figure out on your own, and that's constantly evolving, and you have to stay on top of what's funny at the moment.
Yeah.
That.
Take that swig. There you go.
I lost my train of thought. I thought I'd find it on the swig, and I didn't.
No, you're right though. Like I agree though. When you're doing that, it's. You're never going to, unless you're like one of those guys that have mastered, like the Mitch Hedbergs,
mm-hmm.
you know, like they can make some, like the most basic.
Mitch Hedberg's been killing for years.
Fuck you. But like, you know, he can make the most basic concept hilarious.
Yeah.
Because it's a quick 1-2, whatever. When you don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. It's almost frustrating in a sense. It's like, I compare when I'm saying something that inside I know is funny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just maybe not conveying it in a way that it didn't like hit in the conversation I had prior to. You just feel like, I want to scream. I feel like I have a straitjacket out when I'm on stage. I'm like, how do you not fucking understand what I'm talking about? God damn it. Like, do I just talk about Trump on stage?
I think, like, fuck you. Fuck you, I don't need your approval. Why the fuck won't you laugh at me?
Right, but that's like, I hate it because doing stand-up more regularly, it's made more cynical in a sense.
Uh-huh.
But it's made more cynical in the sense where it's like, not just am I judging what I'm hearing monthly, weekly basis from the same people, which I have fucking loads of respect for, mm-hmm. not just anyone that just started comedy, but anyone that's been doing it for more than a year.
Like, yeah.
Dude, it's a different anyone
who's got it in them to step on the stage, I got some level of respect for.
But I don't respect the guys that have been doing it for a while and have been getting, they're like angler fish. They go after the fucking cheap laughs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what's, yeah, as comedians, we're supposed to be topical and, you know, be able to speak stuff that everyone can relate to. But
yeah.
When you're saying the stuff that you know is going to get like a cheap laugh, it's no longer an original thought.
Yeah.
You know, like if I say something and then I mention the border or Trump or something like that, it's like, hey, I get it. I agree with what you're saying, mm-hmm. but
it's a green.
I've heard this before. Yeah. We've been hearing this before. Like, that's why
I take pride
in what I say. It's like, this is my thoughts, my story, basically.
A lot of times when guys are doing that, I think, they are bombing, you just can't hear it because it sounds different, right? When
but a lot
like
of them start like that, they're like, that's the routine.
But when you do a political bit that a lot of people agree with, strongly agree with, that isn't funny, they're going to applaud. And applause is a positive reaction. It's not the one you were going for,
right, but you got to.
Yeah.
Because it's your. You're no longer seeking the approval of the audience. You're seeking the approval of the consensus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, what's the general opinion on the topic?
And
that's what a comic shouldn't be.
No,
like,
not
really. I'd rather do an anti-Trump joke, but start it off as if I'm like a bleeding Make America Great Again guy. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Like, I want you to think that I'm the hardcore Republican and then end it with something like that versus me just saying, like, oh, we got this fucking border. Mexicans pay for it. You know, like when you start off that way, you're just going on what, like anyone that says anything that's popular or topical in a sense where it's like what you're seeing on anytime you go on the internet
mm-hmm.
or, you know, like if you have cable, you flip on the news once in a while. Anything that you see that's relevant, it's why talk about it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and
it's oversaturated.
No, I get that 100%. And like, I'm a guy, I do a good bit of political stuff, a good bit of topical,
but it's different though.
Well, that's what I was, is like, you know, I do the material cause it's on my mind a lot, but I don't want Like, and when I do a set, I think if you ask someone, they'd say it was political, but I think they'd have trouble unraveling what my politics actually were. You know what I, yeah. And when I get on, the only goal is to make people laugh. Anything right. you add to that is just a plus. And I like to try to add some kind of a message, but in order to get to it, you have to not take what I'm saying literally, peel back some layers. What's the con? Like, what was right, I, right. you know what I'm saying? People who get on stage and are just like, Trump's like, and Trump, I hate, like, I don't have a Trump joke in my set. I don't plan on ever having one.
I love that kind of stuff, but, you know, the bonus, like you're saying, yeah, obviously, the number one objective is get laughs.
Mm-hmm.
The added bonus to it is, for me at least, is when I get off the stage, I want people to think, like, did he mean that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There should be some kind of mystery or wonder in it. You know what I mm-hmm. mean? Like, if you go off right away and your entire 10 minutes is bashing Republicans.
Yeah.
We know your stance.
Yeah. And it's not that you need to hide your stance, but you don't want to alienate anyone.
That's
with
what I
it.
Mean. Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, like, have your political stance.
Yeah. No, because the thing you also don't, you don't want to go up there and be totally neutral, because you wouldn't be doing stand up if you weren't an opinionated guy.
Right,
and
right.
people, if you're going to get good at it, people want to hear your opinion.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely don't sugar, but
you should be able to.
It should be a joke with your opinion attached, not your opinion with whatever jokes I could throw into it.
Right. And like the whole neutral thing, yeah, don't be neutral, but mm-hmm. have a stance, but then also find a way where your joke is going to be able to relate to whatever the demographic that's in front of you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing. Like, that's why I like being able to like leave people wondering. You know, like, what is, you know, like, what does he, did he mean with that? Is mm-hmm. that a real story? Is that, you know, like, that's part of, like, the, I won't say shtick, but, like, you know, that's part of the bit, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Versus guys, and I think it's, like, more so, like, people that don't necessarily have original thoughts, which is hard to do, honestly, nowadays. Everything's, you go on the internet for 10
There's
minutes.
There's a lot of thought out there.
You're going to see memes that you're going to think, you're going to come up, it's going to spurt out of your mouth randomly at a mic, and it's going to get laughs, and you're going to find out it's been a meme since 2012.
And that's a part of your act now.
Doing it purposely, but it's not an original thing. That's why I like doing stuff where I can, it's about me. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's the trials and tribulations, or it's like
yeah.
shit that I'm going through that maybe no one else has ever gone through, but since I'm such a nutcase, like,
mm-hmm.
this is my version of your story.
In yeah.
a sense. Versus me giving you my fucking point or my stand on, mm-hmm. on a particular subject or my, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And I think when you first start out, it's pretty natural. I think when you first start out to draw off your influences, and it's almost like you're writing jokes for them and you can hear like there and how they deliver it. And so for me, I'm a big Anthony Jeselnik fan. So when I first started out, the only thing that really worked for me were my one-liners.
Yeah.
And they follow a very similar cadence to it. But as I, you know, kept going, I kept writing stuff. Eventually, I was doing bits that I'm like, that doesn't sound like him. That sounds like, you know, that's me.
Right.
And
right.
those, for one, they always did better. But they're the bits I was happier to do, you know?
Yeah, because it feels like, when you get the reaction out of something that you know 100% is an original thought, or that's why I'm doing the way I do my stand-up. Like, if it's a story, if I'm telling something that like I've actually gone through, obviously there's elaborations and mm-hmm. shit like that. But if I can get a reaction out of that versus me, you know, like making a joke on whatever, like the impeachment process mm-hmm. or something like that. Like, I didn't come up with the impeachment process.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that is something that has been shoved down my throat, and it's very easy to come up with a joke for mm-hmm. something. You can compare it to anything. You know what I mean? Like, but versus me comparing my daughter's vagina to, like, a hot stovetop, like, who the fuck
yeah.
is going to, you know? Like,
no, yeah.
You know, there's different ways I feel like you get, it's easier to build off of your original thoughts than what you're seeing and
mm-hmm.
like absorbing.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Topical forever.
And I've found that when you're writing a bit off an observation and you're like, this bit's writing itself, it's usually because someone you're walking in well-treaded territory.
I'd rather be a guy that can get average laughs no matter where he goes than get huge laughs in like certain demographics or mm-hmm. areas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then like just fucking bomb at other places mm-hmm. because our platforms don't align. And
yeah.
That's what I think, like, that's the hardest part of doing stand-up is how do I get everybody, maybe not agree with what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
but relate and then find the humor in kind of like, yeah, the misery and the struggle of what I'm trying to say to you. You know what I mean? Like, that's, to me, that is more important than getting a cheap laugh on something I saw on BuzzFeed
mm-hmm.
before I went up on stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, and, you know,
everyone's going to see that on Instagram. You're going to scroll through, you're going to see whatever the news article I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that shit. I want you to go and fucking do a background check on me after I get off stage. I want you to like think about what the fuck I'm doing and compare it to what you guys are doing. And, you know, like that's what I look at it as.
And my thinking, if you're going to do topical stuff, and again, I do a fair bit of topical stuff. A lot of comics like introduce the topic directly and then make a joke about it. I think it's a lot better, a lot more productive to make the joke kind of stand alone and be like lampooning that thought. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you tell that joke, get to that point B, and then work back and restructure in a way that it doesn't need that. But someone might like, oh shit, that's what he was talking about.
Like, you do a lot of topical shit,
mm-hmm.
but it's your take on it. It's mm-hmm. not you regurgitating an already processed thought.
Yeah.
Like you might see something and then have this complete abstract way of analyzing what you just read.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that. I like that. I have respect for that as much as I respect as someone making a story out of that, you know, or a joke out of how they have cancer.
Yeah.
Like to find the humor and shit like that is more important than just blurting out a headline.
I haven't done a bit about it yet, but I have decades experience making fun of my brother's cancer.
I have cancer right now.
Right? Zodiac or?
No, I'm a Leo.
Honestly,
dude. Seriously though, like it's, again, I don't have a difference. There's not like a weighing scale as far as like who I have more respect for as anyone that does comedy. Again,
mm-hmm.
I am very biased in the sense where I only know this sample of the
comedy. Yeah, yeah, same.
Which still, there's more than what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of them are funnier than they are. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Seriously, like I get laughs out of people. When
I think I'm a kind of hard laugh to get because it's so dead inside.
I feel the same way.
That when someone makes me laugh, okay, he's fine. Like because it usually takes like.
I feel like people only warm up or think I'm funny when it's like I'm talking to them at a show.
Yeah.
Like after I've done my shit, you know what I mean? Like it's like we're bullshitting after like the show or something like that. Then like that's where I get the in.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my athletes earlier in the week called me out for how often I courtesy laugh. He's like, how much does it suck to be like funny around people who aren't but think they are?
Yeah.
Because a lot of athletes, they have the confidence of a seasoned comedian. But I'll tell you the worst joke I ever. Actually, I don't know. There's a couple bad ones that guys on the team have pitched me since they've been a comedian, since they found out I'm a do stand up.
Yeah.
And it's probably the worst kid, especially when they find out you do dark humor. Because they just treat you like the Facebook report guy who has to look through all the fuck.
Right, yeah.
And my buddy, this guy, he goes, my favorite Kevin Spacey movie is Pay It Forward. Because the kid dies in the end, and I know he definitely got raped. And that's the joke. That is it.
I like that.
It's such an a big time anti joke, but there's
like it's niche.
Yeah, but here's just and I do dark humor, and when you do dark humor, the big thing you don't want to be like the kiss of death accusation is you're just a shock jock.
Right.
You're not getting laughs. You're saying controversial things. Reactions, yeah. And there, those people do exist, but they all draw from that trying to be dark. And I never want to do a joke that's just, he got raped, brah, brah.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so
but I elaborate like the process of his rape.
Yes. Like, yes. I want to explain how this rape was actually culturally very similar to the crack epidemic in inner cities. Like,
exactly. It's instead of getting the, hey, this is a guaranteed reaction, mm-hmm. I'm going to elaborate off what I know is a cheap mm-hmm. laugh and then make it seem like a total fucked up thought that maybe like Dahmer was the one that like came up with it or something like that. Like, but I like hearing people that do that, like come up with a basic premise and then dissect it.
Yeah.
Go over like, you know, like a methodical step, like explaining it. And like, it almost seems like it's ad-libbing and it's mm-hmm. like crowd work in a sense. You know?
Yeah.
I like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I like engagement and stuff along those lines. And a lot of it's based on like doing bar shows, mm-hmm. which is, you're lucky to get somebody that's not fucking methed out screaming at you as far as their engagement. But
yeah,
when you have somebody that has like a set or a routine that is easily, you know, it's easy to kind of ad lib or branch off of like someone's like retort on what you're mm-hmm. saying versus, you know, if I come up with a fake, you know, or a cheap blah, blah, blah joke about whatever has happened on Washington Post, and then there's some drunk asshole that like says a complete opposite, but I don't know, like I'm only on this stance. I'm not trying to appease to the entire audience. You're going to look like a fucking asshole. You're going to scream and be like, hey, fucking liberal. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to look like an asshole, basically.
Yeah.
If you can branch off and create material that allows people to think while engaging into it, dude, that's the biggest satisfaction out of it all.
Oh, seriously. Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing like after the show when someone comes up to you and they'll mention a bit that they connected to in a way.
Yeah, right.
And you just, I said, it's that feeling of not being alone.
That's what I, after the 50-ish first jokes, yeah, I know, like, obviously, like, there's like the group of us that like we all, you know, know each other and stuff, but it was a cool thing to see all of the people that I know, but don't, you know, I'm mm-hmm. not like talking to on a daily basis. And just feeling like, hey, I'm not the only fucking weirdo out here.
Yes.
Like, dude, again, like that night, anytime I'm doing comedy and I see my buddies or people like that, like enjoying themselves doing it, while they're like talking about how they want to kill themselves or something mm-hmm. like that. It's just like, it's my therapy in a sense.
Yes, very, very much so.
You feel like, hey, I'm not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
These thoughts that I'm coming up with, like, they might be original, but I'm not the only one thinking this way.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one that needs this kind of like gratification just acknowledgement that people are listening to them.
I think in a lot of ways, comedy is scratching that itch you're not allowed to.
It is.
Yeah.
100% it is. Yeah. It's, you're teetering the line the entire time.
Mm.
No matter if you're a clean comic or a completely dirty comic, you're always trying to find, like, how far can I go until it's like...
Yeah. It's such a weird, almost relationship you develop, because it's not like the audience is ever the same, but I can share more intimate and honest details on stage than I, like, even in person. Yeah, like, there's things I've gone up at mics and just told strangers that it's like, I haven't told my parents.
Like, when I go up on a mic or something, as I'm speaking the words, the back of my brain's like, you haven't told anyone this.
Yeah.
Like, what are you fucking doing? But there's like this comforting feeling in a sense. Like, I'm being judged while I'm up mm-hmm. there, but I'm asking.
Yeah.
To be judged by a bunch of peers, in a sense.
The first time I sent my parents like a set that I did, my mom was like, is that true? Like, and
yeah.
For if you haven't heard me do stand-up, which is probably most people, if anything in my set's true, I belong in jail.
Right.
Like, yeah. But it's 100% true and 0% factual is it's how I like put
my
it.
My way of reenacting what I want.
What? Yeah. What like I'm.
How I want to act.
Like
persona.
Yeah. It's me showing you the person I am when I want you to like me.
Right.
And in a lot of ways, that's why what I love about stand up is I think it's the most vulnerable, the most naked of all really the art forms. Because you can write a song that reveals a lot about you. You can also write a song that sounds good, that people like, that is based in nothing.
Right. It's got a catchy beat to it. Or
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But as far as stand up, I've never done a bit that worked that I didn't feel like I was drawing from a real place of something down, some id, something down to your core. Man. Yeah.
It does. Yeah. It is. It's a fucking freeing. It's a freeing feeling to do. And then you get, again, I get more out of it seeing people I enjoy hanging out with, like enjoying themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The weird, like, obviously, like, if you started getting booked, headlining at Hilarities or some shit like that, I'm gonna be super pumped for you.
Someday.
I'm gonna be like,
someday.
Fuck this. Like,
God, yeah.
But to see people that are similar to who I am doing this and getting out of their comfort zone and all of us kind of going through it together.
Yeah.
That is the fucking, that dude, that's the weird hang again.
And
the hangout comedian.
That's
what I am.
That's one of those things too, that like, people don't get, cause stand-up's competitive,
right.
But it's not competitive in the way people who don't do it think. Like a lot of people, like I've taken buddies to mics and seen like a guy before me bomb. They're like, oh God, you know, it's not like I'm not going up there to be the best comic out there tonight or to not be the worst. It's all of us versus an audience trying to make you guys laugh.
The audience is the competitor. And
it's the genuine, if I eat, we eat type thing. And that's why I don't mind in a mic or a show when I get put after a guy who's not going to do good. Because I'm like, good. Give me the ball when we're down. Let me go out there and get this shit right.
It's like the same thing. You know, we do a show and it's just, not, I mean, the crowd's not, it's
yeah.
not a well-ran show or whatever.
And it's really a helpless feeling when you're late on that show.
Let's all take the cyanide pill together.
Yeah, right.
Sabotage this entire
fucking There is like a bond you get with another comic when you're on a show and they're just like,
bad.
It fucking sucks. You're going to hate it.
And you did well and you get off and you like go to your buddy's table and they're like, dude, it's a crowd.
Uh-huh.
You just get that look in each other's eyes like, oh, we're going to fuck this room up
right yes. now. Yeah. Yeah. And that's really when I do my darkest. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, a little smoke break.
Yes.
A little pot in our system.
Yes. And I also have to piss like a goddamn racehorse.
Yeah. We'll be back briefly, shortly, whatever the fuck.